Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Victory Monday edition of the Boneyard. Yeah, how about that? Man, it feels so good to win. I don't know that we felt this way in a long time. I thought about that yesterday morning. Get up, take the dogs out, a little chill in the air, got the sun on my back, and it kind of hit me. I don't remember the last time that I felt this good after a football game, win or lose. Maybe the 2022 Egg Bowl, maybe. It's been a while since we have felt this way. And it's not just because of what happened. It's because of what we now believe may be possible, right? We expected to show some improvement this year. I have said throughout the summer that I felt like the most important game on the schedule was Arizona State. And now we've won that game. And so why was that game so important? I think because we needed proof positive that we were actually making progress. That now we could expect to go compete and do some interesting things in the SEC. Arizona State has some SEC-level talent, and Mississippi State stood up, won the game, should have won it worse, but the reality of it is we won. The city was absolutely restless and ready to pounce. Some of you know the reference. It was electric, man. Now, I didn't expect to win the game. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I told you so. I thought we would lose a close one. I thought we would lose, 27-24, something like that. I thought maybe a touchdown, but I didn't think we'd win. I'm going to just be 100% honest. I said on the show I thought we'd lose a close one. We nearly did, but we didn't. And before we get too deep into the reads here and begin kind of breaking down, I want to give a special shout out to our students. I love our students. I do. And, of course, I got kids that age. And my son's a junior at Mississippi State. And both of my girls graduated from state. And so I know the demographic and the age bracket well. You all have not had a lot to feel good about on the football front during your time at Mississippi State. And as I wrote yesterday, for you upperclassmen, you were around as young bucks when Mike Leach died. We had a funeral right there at Humphrey Coliseum, that was difficult on all of us, as grown folks. But as young people, it's probably even more traumatic. And, you begin to wonder, are we ever going to kind of recapture our previous glory? And this league is so incredibly unforgiving. It's very difficult, especially in a time when, NIL and all these other things are happening. And, people wondered if we were going to be able to compete. And then you go out on Friday and you beat the defending Big 12 champion that went to the FBS playoff and went double overtime against Texas. And you begin to feel like, maybe the cloud has been lifted a little bit. Maybe there is sunrise on the horizon. And that's how it feels. So congratulations to all Bulldogs around the world. Social media was awfully fun in the wee hours of Sunday morning after we got home. We got out of the press box a little before 1 o'clock. And, man, everywhere in downtown was packed. Like everywhere in town was packed because people just weren't ready to go to bed. They weren't ready to just rush home and just go watch SportsCenter. They were like, you know, I want to enjoy this. And good for you for doing so. The line to Taco Bell was all the way out to Louisville Street. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It is. And I've never wanted to be inconvenienced more in my life, I think, than I was Saturday night. I just pulled into a gas station, just picked up some nabs and some chips and just said, I'll just get a good breakfast in the morning. I'm not going to fight all this. I'm ready to get home. And then I got home and I was still surging with adrenaline. I went ahead and wrote a couple of articles and I said, I'll just sleep late on Sunday. And of course, dogs didn't let that happen. But nevertheless, here we are on a victorious Monday. And we'll have Jeff Lebby in a little while. So I'm going to record this show in two parts. So there are some things, obviously, on the injury front that we got to get some clarification on. And I don't know if Leb's ready to talk about them or not. But we're going to ask. And so we'll save that for the final segment. So we'll get through our normal show. We'll pause, go to Jeff Lebby, and then we'll come back. We'll finish the show, and then we'll have that up for you in plenty of time today. But that's our plan, right? So let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I saw John Beam and his lovely wife heading into the stadium on Saturday. You know, that's the good thing. Bulldog Burger Company, it's not just named Bulldog because of the breed. It's because of who we are. And the Eat With Us group has been so fabulous to us over the years, as you guys know. I mean, it's where we've gone for graduation dinners, dates, right? Your father, son, daughter, mother dinners. You know, when you come to see your kids, chances are you went and ate at an Eat With Us restaurant when you were in town. So they've always been there when we needed them. And so I appreciate them for always maybe being the backdrop for some special moments in my life. And I'm sure many of you have that same feeling. But Bulldog Burger Company, of course, has been with me for a long time. And my son works there. He has had a great experience there. I don't know that he would ever want to work anywhere else in the greater Starkville area while he's getting his college education. He loves those people, and they love him back. So you show some love to Bulldog Burger Company, and it's kind of a self-love thing too, right? I don't just eat for nourishment. I eat for enjoyment, and when I do want to enjoy food, which is regularly, Bulldog Burger Company is always at or near the top of the list. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer, and then find a burger that maybe fits your mood for that day. I think today, let there be a feast for all my men and women, right? Go eat big, right? Go enjoy yourselves. Maybe get the smokehouse. Maybe kind of change it up a little bit, or you can get the Pimentology, add bacon, and then get that chocolate shake. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Before we get into the breakdown of the game, atmosphere was great. The new amenities were great. They weren't perfect, but they were great. The lighting was great. They brought back Don't Stop Believin', which nobody expected, which was great. That's the two-minute timeout, and it was electric, man. It was great. Now, that understood, we still got to fix the sound thing. We do. Some of you guys say, hey, it was better in my section, but a lot of people said it's just kind of muffled. Guys, we're on press row, and sometimes I can't hear what the official is saying. I have no idea what's happening sometimes. So that's something that we're aware of, right? Mississippi State is not oblivious to that. We did add, like, some more subs and things like that, so, as you've noticed, a lot of bass. But, yeah, that's not perfect. But the stadium looked great. The stadium looked clean. I thought the LED lights were incredible. And we're only going to get better with that, right, as we kind of learn more about best practices and things of that nature. I mean, it's a new toy, right? So we got to figure out what kind of makes it sing. But it was great. And I think those that were in attendance enjoyed that too. A lot of people that said, hey, we didn't make it to the game, but man, on TV it looked remarkable. And guys, I'm going to tell you, it did. You owe it to yourself to get there. Of course, this weekend, kickoff at 5 o'clock against Alcorn State. Not sure how much nighttime we get. But, yeah, you need to turn out. And there will be plenty of tickets available this weekend. And my hope is there's some demand because you guys want to come see all this stuff and see your quality football team. And nothing was better as far as enhancements go than the Mississippi State football team. All right, let's jump into it. Of course, Mississippi State, as always, its recent tradition dictates, Mississippi State opens on offense. And it's so interesting. We talked about we needed to get a good start. And I said on the show, if State scores twice in the first quarter, we're going to win the game. If State ever gets down two possessions, we're going to lose the game. Well, you know what? We did score twice in the first quarter, and at no point did we ever get down two scores. And ultimately, Mississippi State won the game. Let's go to the details here. Touchback on the first kickoff. We go right out to Anthony Evans, this little swing pass. We are having some difficulty kind of working horizontally at times. And that's kind of been a staple, right? Kind of running the swing pass out to the receivers, the running backs, and trying to get those bubbles going. We have not mastered that yet. Maybe perhaps we'll do some things with that this weekend. But we get it out to Evans here for a one-yard loss. So we're behind the chains before we even get going. Well, then we get to Davin Booth, and he runs off right side here. And Booth does not have maybe, you know, Barry Sanders-type ability, if you do. But one of the things I do like about Booth is once he puts his foot in the ground and decides to get north, he does. And this was the situation here as he gets 15 yards. Proved to be one of the biggest rushing plays of the day. All right, first and 10 now. We get it out to Anthony Evans for 13. And, yeah, we got to feed Ant. We do. We got to really get him going. And he had a good game for us. We go right back to him on first and 10, and he shakes loose here, 48 yards for the touchdown. And it felt like lightning had struck, like this crowd was just kind of waiting, right, with anticipation for something to feel, you know, some validation about it. It's like, hey, we're here, we're all wearing black, we got our cowbells, we're doing our part, time to do yours. Well, Bulldogs do right here, and you jump out 7-0, and then you start thinking about, man, this could be a special night. Because how many times have we come out there and had to punt? I mean, I guess we could go back and do the numbers on that. But scoring on the first drive hasn't always been a strong suit over the course of the last 15 games or so. But if you were feeling good, you were about to feel better. Arizona State comes out. They give it to Kyson Brown. And kind of a sad thing, too, for Kyson Brown. Kyson Brown, obviously, out of Tupelo High School, turns an ankle here in this first quarter and didn't get to play. And, you know, that you hate that aspect of it. Like, I hoped he would come in here and lose, but I wanted him to have a good game. And I understand he had about 50 friends and family at the game. And so you hate that. You know, the homecoming is abbreviated. But back to the ball game. You know, he gets 6 yards there. And then Levitt, you know, wants to kind of find the rhythm. So you have kind of a controlled passing game here. And he finds Jordan Tyson to kind of get him going. Jordan Tyson proved to be the only receiver from Arizona State that caught a pass. And it's pretty evident that Sam Levitt is too reliant on him, and I think that worked to Mississippi State's advantage. First down on the play is Will Whitson and Jerron Manning make the tackle there. Now, first and 10 from their 35. It's incomplete. They try to get it out to Malik McLean. That's incomplete. And there were a couple times, too, where they may have had receivers open and Levitt just kind of misfired. This was one of them. Second 10, they go to Relik Brown, who I thought had a really good game for Arizona State. And I'll tell you now, we're not going to see many running back rooms better than we saw against Arizona State. We'll see some in the SEC, but we're not going to see many better. That's a really legit running attack and a legitimate offensive line. And so a good preparation for the SEC, for sure. All right, so 3 yard gain there makes it 3rd and 7. And then it's incomplete to Jaron Hamilton, and that's a guy they've been really wanting to get involved. They take a shot here, and what I thought was interesting, and to me, this is like a lack of film study or perhaps ego. You can decide what it is, but you got Jaron Hamilton paired up on Kelly Jones. So like your first shot of the game, you're going to go test Kelly Jones, who was absolutely outstanding for Mississippi State. There was zero chance of this pass being completed unless Kelly Jones just fell down. All right, they get ready to punt. Kenyon Floyd was the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week last week. His first punt, 22 yards. Absolute shank job. And I thought we had a chance to get there and block it. All right, State doesn't take good advantage of this favorable field position. The drive begins at the State 40. We get it out to Brennan Thompson for 14 yards. And you think, okay, here we go. We're fixing to go ahead and go up two scores. We go to Fluff at the middle for one. Back to him on second, 9 for 7. I thought he really did a good job kind of moving the pile here. And on third and two, Shapen gets flushed and then runs ahead. And, you know, we're short here. And then we decide to go for it again. And on fourth and two, kind of a similar situation. And we're trying to kind of like leak Fluff out of the backside and then swing it out to him. And he gets caught up in traffic. And to be honest with you, if we don't have a better check down situation there, the play design's not really good. But Blake leaps ahead and he's short. I didn't think it was really that close. I know some people were kind of booing and kind of cheering here. But this is a situation here where we kind of left some meat on the bone. You're in plus territory on third and two, and you use both the third and the fourth down play, and you net a yard. You know, if we're going to be who we want to be, we got to be able to convert on third and fourth and short, and we didn't in that situation. And I think even though we dominated the first half, that was a situation there where we probably could have done more. Great series here by the defense coming up. They really did a good job, especially in that first half. Of course, you know, things kind of changed a little bit in the second half. But so we get the punt away. It's first and 10 from their 37. Relique Brown, nothing. Big Calvin Dinkins, good to see Calvin get a little run out here now. Good to see him healthy. Second and 10, they take a shot at getting to Malik McLean, and it's incomplete. Third and 10, they go back to him, and guess what? Zachary Tillman in his face forces the errant throw, and it is a three and out with no yards gained for Arizona State. Kenyon Floyd gets off a 46-yard punt, a little bit better here. However, because it was a longer punt, Anthony Evans is able to get a quality return here. And 20 yards out to the State 37. So, again, we're in good field position here. And you just need some good things to happen. Well, they didn't here. You know, and give the Arizona State defense a little bit of credit here. So, we run boot up the middle, and it's stacked up for a two-yard loss. Second and 12, we run it again. We get a yard. And on third and 11, incomplete to Aiden Williams. And we end up having a punt. 45-yard punt there for Ethan Pulliam, who I think is probably your best distance punter. I think the numbers kind of show that. And it takes a little while to kind of get used to punting against actual rushers because you're not going to run the risk of getting your punter injured in practice. So it takes a little while to kind of acclimate. But, you know, back-to-back kind of fruitless drives here for State. You get the quick start, and then your next two drives combine net 23 yards. That's not great. Not great, Bob. All right, so we're midway through the quarter here, and, you know, kind of got them backed up a little bit here. It's there, 37. Brown in the middle for nothing. Oh, I've already done that drive. My mistake. So, another short drive here. Great job by your Bulldog defense. Kyson Brown up the middle for 5. Levitt then incomplete to Jordan Tyson on 3rd and 5. They go back to him again, and it's Kelly Jones again making the play. I thought Kelly Jones really flashed in this ballgame. I thought it was absolutely outstanding the way that he played. That kid made some money in that ballgame. It's one thing to do it against Southern Miss. It's another to do it against Jordan Tyson, who is considered one of the best wide receivers in the college game these days. Kenyon Floyd, 40-yard punt this time. We fair catch it at the State 36. So, like, we're kind of winning the battle of field position here, but we got to find a way to cash in. And we had, again, another opportunity here. Is even though some good things happened, some better things could have. But we're not going to be too critical after back-to-back poor drives, and then we have a scoring drive here. So, ball at our 36. Shapen gets it out to Anthony Evans, who gets 15 yards on the play. Now we're across midfield. We throw it out to Sam West. They list it as a PBU by Adrian Wilson. That was an absolute rocket thrown to West. He didn't make the play there. And we're going to need Sam to help us. We truly are. Second and 10, we give it to Fluff, who gets 7 on 3rd and 3. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about. If we're going to be who we want to be as an offense and have the identity of a physical football team, you got to convert on 3rd and short. Well, on 3rd and 3, we do. Fluff runs up the middle and then drags a couple of guys for a yard to make it 1st and 10 at the Arizona State 38. Fluff up the middle for 7. However, there is a penalty as they are offsides. We elect to take the penalty and make it 1st and 5, and then Booth runs for 4 to bring it 2nd and 1. Booth again for 7 to move the sticks. 1st and 10 now at their 22. Booth finding some success on the interior, gets inside the 20 after a 3-yard gain. All right, 2nd and 7, and this whole sequence is when things kind of got out of rhythm for us. I think the stoppage of play hurt us a little bit. But on 2nd and 7, we get it out to Brennan Thompson, who had a knee on the ground. Initially, they didn't see it and made it like a 1st and goal situation at their 7. Of course, they go back and change that to make it 1st and 10 at the 12. It was the right call, but it's makes it a 3rd and 1, right? And Chapin gets loose and gets the 1st down. So now it's 1st and goal at the 10. And this, like, we didn't bog down here, right? We didn't bog down. They made some plays, and we did some bad things. And this is one of them. This is registered as a sack. It's not. It shouldn't have been. 1st and 10. Chapin is flush to his right. Has a chance to throw the ball away. He doesn't, and he runs out of bounds. So we lose 4 yards. Now it's 1st and goal from the 14. Then we kind of tried to force it in there a little bit to Anthony Evans, and Montana Warren makes a play. He was a guy that I highlighted last Sunday as a guy to watch. Pretty good player. Now it's 3rd and 14. We get it out, try to get it out to Evans, and just didn't work out. In addition, then we get ready to kick a field goal, and it's a false start on us. And so everything seemed to be kind of going our way. They have the review. Gave them a chance to kind of, recuperate a little bit, kind of refocus their efforts. And they hold us to a field goal here. And that's the thing I think about. Like, if we go in here and go up 14-0, what does that mean in the totality of this game? A lot of things happened. We really, really, really kind of misfired there. We left some meat on the bone. I think it's fair to say. But it's 10-0. And the Bulldogs have now scored twice in the first quarter. As your good friend and host told you, that's probably a key to victory. Proved to be the case, but there was a lot of drama left to unfold. And again, your Bulldog defense makes it stand up. Relique Brown.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tries to return this kick, and your Bulldog coverage units were there. They get him out of bounds just short of the 15-yard line. It was a bad decision. I understand just trying to make a play and spark something, but it was a bad decision. Early in ball games, you just got to make the football play. That was not a football play. That was a selfish play. 1st and 10 now from their 14. Levitt runs off the right side for a dozen. But it's called back. Max, Ian Aker, who they were a little bit worried about injury-wise, is flagged for holding. Now makes it 1st and 17 at the Arizona State 7. Relique Brown at the middle for a one-yard loss, and that runs out the quarter. And so now, yeah, you guys are doing great. You're thinking, hey, we're up 2 scores. We got them pinned back deep. We start the 2nd quarter at the other end. They bring in Kanye Udo, who was really good for them. He was arguably the best player at Army last year. Transferred to Arizona State. And again, just kind of adds some depth and value to a running back room. With Kyson and Relique Brown, I thought he was really good. He's up the middle for 6. Which, you know, you start working through this and you're backed up. You're just trying to really kind of give yourself some room to punt. Well, they decide to go look up their main man, right? They find Jordan Tyson. And he gets 10 yards, and all of a sudden, they're feeling kind of good about life. However, there was an OPI called on tight end Cameron Harpole. We have some Harpoles down there in Hinds County. And they were upset about it. It was a very obvious infraction. You know, you engage when the runner is beyond the line of scrimmage, it's pass interference. If he's behind the line of scrimmage, you can block. Well, this tight end just kind of takes off, and then you know, it was an easy call. They were upset about it. They shouldn't have been. They should have been upset about the fact that he committed pass interference, not that a flag was thrown. And then there was kind of a weird thing on this third down play. It's like some people didn't know the snap count. I think some of this is because they were backed up in a student section. And so Will Whitson knifes through, and it's a huge sack of 14 yards. And then on top of that, they're getting ready to punt from their 4 and get a delay of the game, which makes it from the 2. But give Canyon Floyd a lot of credit. 56-yard punt, absolute boomer. Great effort. And Anthony Evans returns at 11. So State now in plus territory across midfield at the Arizona State 47. You got to make it hurt, right? I mean, you know this is the situation. You've been winning the battle of field position. You've been playing a lot of the game at or around midfield or beyond. You got to make it matter. We're incomplete to say do, and this, we just kind of had somebody was on the wrong page. It's an option route. Say do read one thing, Blake read the other, and so it looks like a wild incompletion, but it's just two guys being on the wrong page. And then we decided to take a shot. And Willie, kind of a Willie Mays type catch. Brennan Thompson doing a great job of tracking his football. But and this is one of the things I plan to ask Jeff Levy about today. Man, the ball placement on this and Blake Chapin is absolutely elite. He gets him in stride, throws it over that back shoulder. Just crazy, crazy good play on both ends. They initially call a chop block on Fluff. But they pick up the flag. And they should have picked up the flag. And I'm going to say something, one thing that can be somewhat critical of some of our fans. Guys, we don't have to apologize for success. And I don't know if it's a self-esteem issue or if it's a PTSD issue or you've just been beaten down over the years. We do not have to apologize or excuse our success. People are like, oh, well, yeah, it should have been chop block. Well, the guys that officiate the game said otherwise. Seydou was not engaged with the blitzer when Fluff cut him. It's not a chop block. I know they wanted it to be one, and maybe you feel guilty about us having a little success because maybe you're uncomfortable with that. And if that hurts your feelings, then so be it. But we don't have to excuse or apologize for being successful. And now we're up 17-0. I think some people just want the internet cred. I don't, you know, whatever. But nevertheless, 17-0. And then we get the fair catch. And we have a chance for the kill shot here, right? Guys, you think it's 17-0. But guys, there's still just under 13 minutes to go in the first half. There's still plenty of room. And even though we have left some meat on the bone, I think we can all agree State should probably be up 4 scores in this game. But here we are. Levitt complete to Relique Brown at their 19. It's a 2-yard loss. Jaywin Smith and Diego Brumfield, and I thought Brumfield played well. He gets maligned by our fans all the time. Kid had a good game. Makes it 2nd and 12. Levitt frustrated, having trouble. I think he was one of his first 7 for 4 yards. just decides to just be an athlete. Just kind of being that small-town Mississippi quarterback. It's like, I'm a one-read guy. If Jordan Tyson's not open, I'm just going to run. So, coach, just call everything rolling to Jordan's side. I'll throw it to him if he's open. If not, I'm just going to go run. And that's basically what they did. That's an offense that just it'll work on Friday night. It's not going to work consistently on Saturday nights. All right, second and 12. Leavitt runs for 10, obviously. Third and 2. Now they go back to Relique Brown, who gets 9. Now it's first and 10 at the 42. They go back to Brown off the left side for 4, and then Leavitt off the right side for 7, moves the sticks. It's first and 10 now, plus territory. They give it to Brown, and Zachary Tillman and Brylo Lanier show up, sticking for a 1-yard loss. And then we get Leavitt again. Deontay Anderson, very athletic play here. And it's very hard to get a guy like Sam Leavitt on the ground, and he does it in the pocket. Now it's third and 18, and again, Leavitt clearly frustrated. If you know anything about body language, you can see this is a guy that's just ready to get it over with. And he throws it up, and I don't even know who he was throwing it to. They list the intended target as Jaron Hamilton. There was a better chance of you or I catching that football. That ball was just thrown in no man's land. And then Javon Williams, the very first portal transfer for this class, a guy that a lot of people thought would just be a special teamer, makes a pick. Yeah, gets the pick here. Goes down pretty quickly, and great job by Brandon Jennings kind of getting a hand in the face of Leavitt here and kind of being close enough where he couldn't, you know, really step into the throw. Just kind of on a wing and a prayer. That prayer was not answered. State, again, a chance here to really knock them out of the ball game. Give them some credit, their defense, for saying, you know what, no, we're not ready to quit. Booth off the right side, no gain. Second and 10, off the left side with Blake Chapin for 1. And on third and 9 here, we get sacked. And so, despite the fact that we go out here and get the big turnover and have a chance to really put this game away, we go 3 and out and actually lose a yard. We didn't even gain a yard. And again, give them some credit too. It's not just about us. The other teams sometimes make plays. As the old guys say, they get free school too. Nathan Tice, nice punt for him, 45 yards. He had a really good punt later, more of a directional type thing. But, it's again, we got to get those guys going a little bit. Punting has just been okay. A flash every now and again. And just when you think Arizona State's going to climb back into it, your Bulldog defense makes another stand here. It's not officially a turnover, but it is. They do turn it over on downs. They start at their 38, and again, they're kind of riding Kanye Udoh now that Kyson Brown is out. Up the middle for 7, back in there for 5 to move the sticks. And on first and 10, they said, well, let's just go with it. If some is good, more is better. Run off left side, no gain. Second and 10, they get it out to Relique Brown just for a yard. So it's third and 9. And now you're starting to feel pretty good here, right? They make a play trying to get it to Tyson, and Kelly Jones, again, with the pass breakup, they flag us for holding. In live action, I didn't think there was much. After watching the game again, it was an obvious hold. Now, one can suggest that the receiver initiated the contact, and possibly he did, but we hung on to him and just basically bear-hugged him and ran with him. It's absolutely the right call. I hate it. However, it didn't cost us. First and 10 from our 39, it's incomplete to Relique, and then they try to get it out to the tight end, Carmen Harpole, for 4 yards. And then on third and 6, they run off the left side for just 1 with Udoh. Brings up fourth and 5, they go for it, and they got a favorable spot here, and they were still short. We should have had Sam Leavitt for a TFL here, but he gets loose. He is an elite athlete. He dives. What a tremendous effort, but his momentum was kind of carried into the sideline. I think he would have been short even if he stays in the field and was actually kind of losing the ball as he went to the ground. But needed 5, got 4. First down, Bulldogs. So, again, your defense absolutely dominating the day. You're kind of doing what you want to. And, again, offensively, you've done some good things and had the opportunity to do more. And you're kind of hoping here, when you start this drive, it's your 30 with 2:41 to go, maybe we can go down there and get points. Maybe we can get a field goal, something. At the very least, get a couple first downs and punt and pin them back deep, and let's get to the locker room with a shutout. That's not what happens, though. All right, we get it out to Evans here for three. And on 2nd and 7, we try to get to Seydou again. Seydou was just kind of an unfactor in this game. Pass is broken up there. Make it 3rd and 7. We get it out to Aiden Williams. Nice play by him. Moves the sticks. 1st and 10 now. Shapen runs ahead for 6. And on 2nd and 4, we get it out to Fluff. Needed 4. Got 5. Makes it 1st and 10. So now you're starting to think, okay, we're fixing to go in here and make a statement. And then things kind of got off kilter for us. 1st and 10 from their 44. Shapen runs for 11. We're going to be inside the 35. However, we're flagged for holding. It was the right call, too. I hate it. But again, we're probably about to go in here. Probably about to go in here. But instead, it's 1st and 20. And then, to compound the issue, we get sacked for a loss of 9 yards. I thought this was the really only legitimate sack of the night. What I mean by that, there were some times that Blake kind of scrambled and got caught behind the line. But this is one here where their pass rush just got to us. They're not a great pass rushing team, but they made a big play right here. Now all of a sudden it's 2nd and 29. They call timeout. We're incomplete to Seydou, but it's a free play, right? It's a free play because we get them off sides with a hard count. If Seydou makes a catch there, you know, who knows what happens. However, we accept the penalty, which makes it 2nd and 24. We get it out to Brennan. He gets absolutely just – Bemidji just runs him over. But he's a tough kid, 6 yards the hard way, makes it 3rd and 18. They call timeout. And then we decide to just run Fluff to make sure we take that last time out for them. Just kind of good game management here. But, you know, Kenny Dillingham is a guy that always talks about the middle eight, closing the first half, opening the second half. We talk about it all the time, too, about how important it is to survive the first few minutes of that second half. They get a chance to go back-to-back drives here. And it worked out well for them. Nathan Tice, 21 yards on the punt, completely insufficient there. I mean, that's just not going to get it done. When you needed a 45-yarder, you needed a 45-yarder. You got a 21-yarder. And that factors in to what happens here late. You get a good punt here and pin them back inside the 20. It might actually change the complexity of the game because every play matters. And again, rather than them being pinned back, they're at the 33. So, I mean, you're a couple first downs away from a long field goal. We help them a little bit with that. And, again, State had done everything right. Again, you know, a couple things on offense here. You know, a couple of punts that maybe should have been better. A couple punts that were really good. But that's one right there that, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I get it. I'm human, too. But that was a very significant play in this ball game that I don't think has been talked about enough. All right. Sam Levitt was born to run the 2-minute drill. And what do you do to get going? You got to get that first one, right? You got to get a completion, get a first down, kind of get everybody excited. And it was an absolute bullet, man. I mean, he rifled this ball in there 23 yards to Jordan Tyson. And now it's 1st and 10 at the State 44. Again, go back to that punt. Just, again, everybody's got a play to make. 1st and 10, they spike it, brings up 2nd and 10. It's incomplete to Malik McLean to take a shot here. It's not there. 3rd and 10, it's incomplete again, and it's D'Angelo Brumfield making the play here. DJ Reed, a guy that wasn't expected to do much this year, gets the quarterback hurry there. And he was great and has been for 2 weeks, and we're going to need him to be. But yeah, they take a shot here. We actually have him bracketed, but it's Diego that undercuts the route and bats it down. All right, we end up calling a timeout. You know, it's so interesting, too. Like, you know, you got to know how far he can throw it, right? It's one thing I learned from Terrell Buckley. There's times you look up and say a guy's just ranging free. You know, he's behind the defense. If the quarterback can't throw it far enough to get there, the guy's not technically open, right? It doesn't matter how deep you are if the quarterback can't get it. And I think in some ways – maybe when we call time out here, that's one thing so we should have kind of figured out, you know. Just kind of a bang-bang play, but it happened. So it's 4th and 10, and then they get a false start, which makes it 4th and 15, takes it back to the 49. I don't know that he's got the arm to get it there. I don't. So Kamari gets, or Zachary gets the PBU here, but this soft Big 12 crew flagged Brennan Jennings for personal foul. Now, in the end, it didn't matter because DJ Reed's helmet comes off and DJ continued to pursue, which is illegal participation. That rule's been in the books for years. So you could say, well, if we don't do that, we're off the field. I think they would have just gone with this. I think what it was, Brandon Jennings got such a huge hit, which was a legal hit. I think because of the violent nature of the hit, it was just a reflexive action from the refs to throw and flag this for roughing the passer. And you know what? I'm glad that we got that on tape because we need people to know that we will hit your quarterback. Nevertheless, they get an untimed down. They attempt a 51-yard field goal, and Jesus Gomez makes it. And so right there you're thinking, okay, not so bad. But they got the ball coming out, and you begin to think if they get a touchdown, all of a sudden a three-score game becomes a one-score game rather quickly. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. All right, your second half recap brought to you by closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His number, 601-500-2344. I'm going to encourage you to save that in your phone. Just put mortgage guy. Blair Chandler, mortgage guy. 601-500-2344. Blair's got 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. Nobody stays in that field for 20-plus years by accident. You don't close loans, you go find something else to do. Yeah, simple as that. Thus the name Close with Blair. You can close with Blair. Many of you have had the dream of home ownership be somewhat of a mystery, right? You got to get off the hamster wheel of renting. You're just paying somebody else's mortgage, and at the end of the day, all you have are receipts rather than some actual equity in life. So I encourage you to try to put some roots somewhere. Right, Blair can help you with that. He can get you their pre-qualification letter, which is a life hack they don't tell you about. It really gets your real estate agent motivated where they know exactly what you can be approved for financially. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler, your mortgage guy at closewithblair.com. All right, second half. And a much different half as the Bulldogs dominated the first half. It's Arizona State that dominates the second half. And again, you know, it's a 17-7 game. And you're thinking, man, we need a stop here on this first drive. Basically, Arizona State's like, hey, Sam's not feeling it tonight. They're doing a good job. Kelly Jones is giving Jordan Tyson fits. We got to find a way to get other people involved. And they just said, you know what? The best thing for us to do is line up, run the football, which is what they did last year and found some success against us. So it's like, hey, let's go back to it. Now, granted, Will Whitson no longer in the game. We're eager to find out what Jeff Lebby's got to say about him today. Yeah, there's a lot of chatter out there. None of it's really positive. But he left the field on his own power with about 2 minutes to go in the first half. Did not return, and then all of a sudden, they begin to find more success running the football. All right, first and 10 from their 25. They give it to Udo up the middle for 6. Relique Brown off the, I guess it's off left tackle, left guard here for 15 yards. Moves it again. First and 10, already out to the 46. They go back to Brown for 11, and then Sam Levitt himself just kind of calls his own number. Goes off the left side for 12. Already down to the state 31-yard line, and then Udo gets 13. I mean, these are big gains. This isn't like this 5 and 6 yards. I mean, that's double-digit gains on 4 consecutive plays. Then in first and 10 in the red zone, Levitt off the right side for 9. Back to Udo for 3, and that makes it a first and goal situation. And then he gets in for 6. I think he was stood up at the 2, and the scrum itself kind of takes him forward into the end zone. I don't know your feelings about that play, but it's legal, these days. Extra point is good. Makes it a 17-10 ball game. So State needs to answer, and we don't. We take over at our 25. We're trying to get the running game going, kind of shorten the game a little bit. Booth up the middle for one. Then we're incomplete to Mosley. They credit that as a PBU. We need J-Mo to get going. And third and nine, Shapen is flush, runs ahead for three. We've got a punt again. Ethan Pulliam, 44 yards. Good punt here. No return. Back to the 27. They have all the momentum right here. And your defense stands up and makes a play here. Defense gets the ball back for the offense. You do up the middle for nothing. Great play by Trevion Williams. Second and 10. They get it to Relik Brown. It's 11 yards. First down. First and 10 now out there at 38. And this is where State really kind of begins to stiffen. Relik Brown gets three. And on second and 7, Calvin Dinkins knifes through. Great job by Dink. Just kind of watching those pulling guards, and he shoots a gap. He's in the backfield, and it's a 5-yard loss, which makes it 3rd and 12. Very significant play in this ball game. They try to get it out there to Jordan Tyson, and I thought he had it for a second, and it kind of bounces loose, and then Jerron Manning absolutely unloads on Jordan Tyson. They didn't show it on the broadcast, but when he stood up, he was not steady on his feet. Big lick for sure. 4th and 12 now, punt away 45 yards, out of bounds at the State 19. And so here we are again. You've got momentum back. The crowd's engaged. Everybody's doing great. And so we get it to Fluff, who's off the right side for 7. Brings up a manageable 2nd and 3. We get it out to Evans, who gets 6. And right now I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of the defining drive. We'll find a way to go get separation and probably demoralize them a little bit. On 1st and 10, we're complete to Thompson for 2, and on 2nd and 8, Shapen off the left side for 5. Makes it 3rd and 3, and we talk about it. If we're going to be who we want to be, you got to convert on 3rd and short. Well, rather than run it, we get it to Evans, who gets 6. Now you're approaching midfield. 1st and 10, we take a shot to Aiden Williams. There was a little contact there, and Ramar Williams got in the backfield and kind of impacted to throw some. They didn't throw a PI. I thought they shouldn't. Just two guys making a play, and the throw wasn't exactly on target. So it makes it 2nd and 10. Fluff then gets 9. I thought we actually had the first down here. They make it 3rd and 1, and then we have two players guilty of false start. They tag Anthony Evans. He wasn't alone there. So now instead of it being 3rd and 1, it's 3rd and 6. That changes your play call a little bit. And on 3rd and 6, we're incomplete to Thompson, broken up by Javon Robinson. And on 4th and 6, we decide to go. Now, we're probably just going to take a delay of game penalty and punt. However, we do a hard count. They jump. Cannon snaps it. We take a shot here, and it's incomplete. And it's a turnover on downs. Honest to goodness, I wouldn't have tempted fate. I'd have just punted. That's the football play. But I'm not a college football coach. But that really, I think, rejuvenated them a little bit. And what do you know? They cash in. We give them the short field. Relik Brown off the right for 4 on 2nd and 6. They're complete to Tyson, who gets it near the state, inside of state 25. And on 1st and 10, Brown again for 3. Back to him for 4. Makes it 3rd and 3. They get it complete to Tyson at the state 14. And he pushes ahead there. Down to the 11. Now it's 1st and 10, deep in the red zone. And Udo goes for 3. And so you think, okay, well, you know, we're probably best case scenario. If we can hold for a field goal, it's a win. Doesn't work out that way. Diving catch by Jordan Tyson. I thought they should have reviewed it, but after seeing the broadcast, it's pretty apparent to me that he did have it as he broke the plane. He comes out of the end zone with it. But he did secure the catch at the goal line. So there was no malfeasance there. Extra points, good. Now we're tied. And now how many times in our lives as Mississippi State fans have we been in a scenario? It's like, hey, we had the lead. I think the last time that we, memory serves me correct, the last time that we had a double-digit lead and lost was 2022 to LSU. I think that's correct. So it's been a while. But there was this malaise, and you could feel that, like, oh my gosh, here we go again. We needed to get a drive here. We get a little bit, but not enough. We're complete to J-Mo at the 30, and on 2nd and 10, we get it out to Anthony Evans for 9, which makes a manageable 3rd and 1. And then what do? We give it to Booth, who gets 4. Good hard running there. 1st and 10 now, shape at the middle for 1. And on 2nd and 9, he's complete to Ricky Johnson, who fights ahead for a dozen yards and across midfield. And you think, okay, the answer is coming. At least a field goal here. And on 1st and 10, take a shot to Brennan Thompson, just kind of overthrow it just a little bit. Very similar to that first touchdown. Throw just not quite there. And on 2nd and 10, we go off the right side for 1. 3rd and 9, we're incomplete to Evans. And we punt. Nathan Tice, good job here. 44 yards, really with the best punt of the night, I think, because of situationally where things stood. But now it's at their 4. And you're feeling pretty good here, right? You think, okay, surely they're not going to march the length of the field. Well, they nearly do. This is one of those drives here where they did what they wanted to, but in the end, the Bulldogs kind of bowed their backs and made some big plays in the red zone. But it starts off well enough for Arizona State, as Udoh off right guard for 11. They go back to him for 12. That's 23 yards on just 2 plays. They go back to Udoh for 2 more, makes it 2nd and 8. They bring in Brown to kind of give him a break there, and he needed it. Off the right side for 9, moves the sticks, 1st and 10, Brown for 6. And on 2nd and 4, they got Udoh back in. Again, I think he was a difference in the ballgame for them. He gets a couple. 3rd and 2, you got to be tough here. And we were just 1 yard here. Bingley Jones and Zachary Tillman combined. They go for it on 4th and 1. And a lot of people would maybe question it. Why do you go from that out in their midfield? Kind of a similar situation. They convert. He gets 2 yards, probably closer to like 1 yard and 1 foot. But he does get sufficient yardage to move the sticks. Back to Brown for 6. Makes a 2nd and 4. Brown again gets 2. Brings up a 3rd down. And then they get flagged for false start. And you think, oh, this is the crucial mistake right here. This is a chance for State to get the football back. And on 3rd and 7, what do? Well, you go to your guy, right? 3rd and 7, you're not going to run the football. You're not going to, unless it's just a quarterback improvisation or whatever. But 3rd and 7, they make a great throw to Jordan Tice, and they had him paired up with Diego Brumfield. They get the matchup they want. They exploit it. Great catch by Tyson. 1st and 10 now at our 36. Brown up the middle for 7. And then this is one of the most defining plays in this ballgame. Raleigh Brown breaks loose here, and it looks like he's going to score. It ends up being a 26-yard gain as Diego Brumfield makes a tackle, basically just kind of a shoestring tackle right there at the 3. They're feeling it. The thing about this play that is so significant is you got to give yourselves a chance. Some people are thinking, just let them score. Well, we get done next to nothing on offense. It's a very dicey proposition. You got to give yourself a chance. We make a tackle here. It's 1st and goal. They give it to Udoh, and who else, right? Runs ahead for 2. Isaac Smith, Bingley Jones combine on the tackle. We take a timeout. 2nd and 1, they bring Udoh in, who has really been good for them. And he is stacked up for nothing. Brandon Jennings, Trevion Williams, and that's a lot of mass right there. Timeout on the play. And it's interesting, like the our notes are wrong here. But they had a guy whose helmet came off. A lot of people thought we had 4 timeouts. We did not. We didn't. We ended up having to burn a timeout that we shouldn't because we had the wrong personnel on the field. But nevertheless, that 4 timeout situation, we burned all 3. But there was a helmet that came off, which, of course, is dead ball. 3rd and 1. Udoh again, and Nick Mitchell knifes in there and doesn't actually – he was credited with the tackle, but he didn't make the tackle, but he knocked them backwards, and then next thing you know, the Calvary got there. Malik Sela also gets a half tackle on that. If you go back and watch that, DJ Reed nearly got that football out. As a matter of fact, he's laying on the football. Like he, it's almost like joint possession there. He nearly gets that ball out of there. They end up getting a field goal out of it. It's 4th and 1. And then they squib it. We get a chance to – Maurice Williams runs it out there to the 23. And it doesn't take us long, but, man, I tell you what, how many times have we been in this situation where you think, and we got to go put a drive together to win a ball game, and then we don't do it. More times than not, these kinds of things don't happen to us very often. All right, first and 10, and our clock management here was, questionable. First and 10, we get it to Booth, who gets 9. I mean, you really want to get the sticks there. I mean, he made a great effort, just couldn't quite get there. Second one, clock's running. We're complete to Anthony Evans, who gets 9 yards in the first down, out to the 41. You're thinking maybe we can get in position here for Kyle Ferry to tie this thing up. I mean, basically, you get across the 50, you're in Kyle's range. First and 10, Shapen gets flushed, dives ahead for a yard, and that eats up about a dozen seconds or so. Second 9, you got Evans wide open across midfield, a little bit high, and he drops it. Not what you expect from Ant, especially in that situation. And that's when you kind of begin to think it may not happen for us. And then Brennan Thompson's like, fam, I got you. Third and 9. And what's interesting about this play, they're bringing the safety blitz out of the slot. Sadu comes in motion, and just kind of incidentally, their feet get tangled up. As he's coming in and Sadu's going out, their feet get tangled up, the blitzer falls, and then can't get there, which gives Blake a clean throwing lane. Brennan, Ant, working a switch route release here, and then next thing you know, Thompson is loose, and the underneath defensive back at one point tried to defend them both. And I've read some things online, like one guy in particular says, well, it was just a bust. I can't give him credit. We created the bust because of the confusion with our receivers. We have been kind of setting this up earlier in the ballgame. You go back and think about the concept with having both of those guys on the right side to the Blake's dominant side, and how many times we just kind of ran certain routing concept for those guys. Well, this time we run the switch release and creates confusion. We created the bust. They didn't give us anything. Good play by your Bulldogs. The throw is up. Brennan Thompson has it and then wins the foot race to the end zone. Nobody's going to run him down from behind. And then Davis Wade Stadium absolutely explodes. I've been there so many times in my life. I don't remember it being quite like that very often. Incredible. Ferry with the extra point. I can promise you, much as I love Kyle and his family, I can tell you, he was much happier to kick the extra point than the field goal. Right? Not that he wouldn't have made the field goal, but the field goal only gives us a tie. The extra point forces them to have to drive the length of the field with 30 seconds to work with and score a touchdown. And lo and behold, it's over fairly quickly. And kind of lost in the translation a little bit too. You know, Levitt kind of waggles right a little bit. And Malik Sela, a guy that I don't think we've made a lot of maybe hype about, he can't quite get there. But he's so long, he's able to get a hand up and tip it. He's trying to get that ball out to Tyson, of course. Sela gets it. It kind of flutters. And then Hunter Washington, a young man that's been here and played exceptionally hard for Mississippi State, gets the pick. And then gets down, State takes a knee, and that's your ball game. That's your ball game, Bulldogs. How cool was that? One that we'll remember for a long time. Let's quickly go through the numbers here, and then we'll get into our top 10 list. And remember, this show is going to be recorded in, segments. So we'll get done with this, and then we'll head to Jeff Levy's press conference and get some information about maybe some of these injury rumors that are out there too. Team numbers here, you talk about offensive. They had 23 first downs to our 17. 14 of theirs came rushing, of course. A dozen of ours came on the passing side. They outrushed us 251 to 66. And now, that's a good rush defense, and they got everybody back from last year, but we are going to have to run the football better, period. Period. They ran it 51 times to our 30. They averaged almost 5 yards a carry. And again, you heard it. We went through it. They had so many double-digit gains. Now, on the passing side, Sam Levitt goes 10 for 23 and throws 2 picks and the 1 touchdown, but just 82 yards. Blake Shapen, 19 of 33, had a couple drops, had a couple of misses, 279 yards, and the 3 touchdowns. But offensively, pretty similar, right? They get 333, we get 345. Our offense, our defense, got the better of them in the first half. They got the better of us in the second half. And it's amazing how, like, the final plays, like the final play of the first half gives them life. And one of the final plays of the second half gives us victory. Interesting how it all works out. We averaged 39.8 yards a punt. We got to do better. We do have to do better. We had the one really bad punt. We had another really good situational punt. I thought Pulliam had a couple nice punts. But looking at individual numbers here, I don't know if you had a chance to go back and look yourself, but Blake was sacked three times. One of those, he runs out of bounds. Another time, it's just kind of a running play where he stopped just short of the line. You know, he gets flushed. And then, again, this kind of a one legitimate sack. They sacked Blake four times last year. They get him three this time. And two of those are not on your offensive line. They're just not. One of them, we held the ball a little bit too long. Another time, we run out of bounds. But sacked three times. Fluff ends up being your leading rusher. Eight carries for 34 yards. Booth, nine for 33. Shapen, 12 for just six. Of course, you know, a lot of that counts against him. But you a couple hundred-yard receivers. Thompson, 6 for 133 and a pair of touchdowns. Anthony Evans, 9, 108 and a touchdown. Ricky Johnson also had a catch. Aiden Williams with a catch. Devin Booth, Fluff Bothwell. But primarily, we worked those two main receivers. On the other side of things, and it makes perfect sense, you know, Relik Brown runs for 110. Kanye Udo, 105. Sim Levitt, just 25 when it was all said and done. But, again, a wild ball game. For sure. A very special one for Mississippi State. Let's jump over here to defensive statistics. But a lot of running stuff, you know, so you'd think we'd have a lot of tackles. But maybe not quite as many plays as you'd expect. Jerron Manning and Nick Mitchell both with nine tackles. Isaac Smith with eight. Diego Brumfield with seven. And none bigger than the one that forced the goal line stand. Zachary Tillman, a guy that I expect to be a star for Mississippi State, had seven. Darian Gallad, a guy that was kind of the butt of some internet jokes about a video clip, one play, that one significant play in a scrimmage game, and somebody says, oh, you know, this they're going to be terrible. Yeah, well, Darian Gallad had seven tackles. Brandon Jennings with seven, Kelly Jones with six. He's credited with just one PBU, and I don't think that's accurate, to be quite honest with you. But, yeah, you run through here, there were a lot of Bulldogs that contributed to the victory. And so let me get these punting numbers just so we can have a better idea of what we got here, if I can find it. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe we can't. Anyway, so we got a lot in front of us. Oh, here we go. Nathan Tice, three punts, averaged 36.7 yards a punt, and then Ethan Pulliam, two punts for 44.5. I think it's pretty safe to say Ethan is your distance punter. And I think Nathan, you know, that end-over-end punt that he did that pinned him at the five, that may be where he fits, right? I mean, there may be a way you can use both of these guys. Ethan's probably capable of doing that too. Ethan played soccer with my younger son, Ian. So, I mean, I know what kind of athlete he is. But there may be a way to use them both. But I think when you're punting for distance, you probably need to go with Pulliam. Tice did have one 45-yarder. I don't want to discount that. And his numbers are somewhat impacted by that 22-yard punt. Very significant play right before the half. We're all going to make some mistakes, but we're figuring some things out. But when it's all said and done, you know, that's one of those areas you look at and say, we got to be better. We have to be better. Kyle Ferry, one for one with a 37-yarder. We made the level of difficulty a little more enhanced with a unforced error that backed him up 5 yards. So that's your ball game. We'll be back with your top 10 list. All right, top 10 list brought to you by Kalito Guitars. Kalito Guitars, that's a Mississippi State guitar shop. Not just a guitar shop, but they specialize in string instruments. Based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. You can go by the showroom and see them. You can. Next time you're in the greater Houston area, I'd encourage you to go by and just take a look around. Speaking of taking a look around, visit the website because you need some incentive, right? You got to remind yourself that you're working for more than just paying the bills and the mortgage, right? Raising kids. I mean, it's just sometimes that's what life consists of, but you need to have some goals. You need to have a little pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And maybe you're not a great player. I'm not a great player, but I love playing guitar. I do. It's very therapeutic. There's just something special about just kind of getting out there and just hammering out a couple power chords, and you just get you get jacked. You do. And it feels good to kind of create something. That's a thing I think about too sometimes. You know, I like to play along when I can. I'm not a real technical player, but I can play along a little bit. But it's the only way you get better. It's the only way you get better. And sometimes you need better instruments. And so what I would encourage you to do is go visit Kalito Guitars. Now, they've got some special offers over there on the right-hand side. Got, you know, three tabs for special offers. If you are an acoustic player, if you prefer to play acoustic, I like to plug in the amp and just kind of rock it out a little bit. But you can find, Guild is a great acoustic brand. You can find, got a couple of Guild guitars on special right now. They got a Guild DS240E, black, regular price $900, it's $650. They've got a Guild DS240 wine red guitar, a beautiful guitar. It looks almost maroon and white. So if you've got a player in your family that's a bulldog, and maybe they're a country music person, I don't know, maybe you can get them a Mississippi State guitar. Regular price, $765. They got it at $549. Now, by being a listener to this show, that entitles you to some savings. Promo code BSR. Beautiful Steve Robertson, that gets you 10% off your purchase. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. That gets you free shipping. And it gets a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. That is a great incentive to do business with them. Not to mention, they're Bulldogs. We need to keep business in the family whenever we can. Delivery day for my Steve Vai signature guitar is Friday. Absolutely cannot wait. I may show up at the game Saturday, just bloody fingers. I may, because I can't wait to play. I got the book festival in the morning, but I may, you know, bang out. I might just stay up all night Friday night and just kind of rip on it some. But you need that level of excitement in your life too, right? So, and here's the thing. You need motivation to practice. Sometimes you make an investment in your improvement. You say, you know what? I've spent some money here. I've made an investment in getting better. I need to practice more. I'm telling you, I feel better when I'm making music, even if it's just for me. Even if it's just for me, just to kind of sit down and figure out a part, one of my favorite songs, whatever. There's YouTube videos out there and tutorials on everything. So be sure and check it out, Kalito Guitars. Become a better guitar player or ukulele player or violin player or fiddle player, whatever you want, and make Kalito Guitars your one-stop shop for all your stringed instrument needs. KalitoGuitars.com. All right, we're going to be quick because we don't have a lot of time left. And we got a lot to cover. This past weekend, surprise for some people. You know, we wanted it. We wanted it. We hoped for it. And I think even some of us that are kind of true maroon were surprised. I did not expect us to win. I will admit that right out of the gate. But I'm so jacked we did. I'm happy to take the personal L to get the team dub. So here we go, songs about surprises, and some interesting bands on here, and all these songs have surprise in the title. Now, my friend BJ Cummings is a big jam band guy, as you guys know, and I don't want you to hold that against him. But in honor of him, at number 10, we're putting in Widespread Panic with Surprise Valley. Widespread Panic, Surprise Valley, number 10. Number 9. A band that had incredible harmony, so much that I used to think that it was kind of like a studio creation, and it may have been. But it's Chicago's Baby What a Big Surprise. You know that song, and you may not know it just by title, but you put it on, and you'd be like, yeah, I remember this. Number 8, you know, Dana did the Theory of a Dead Man top 10 list. I'm sure this was on there. But this is a song, and that's the thing. One thing's about Theory that this guy has like dated the worst women of all time. Every song is about some girl where he's kind of getting even with her. But it's Theory of a Dead Man's no surprise. It ain't no surprise, right? Yeah, she talks to every guy in the bar. Dude, the problem is you, not her. You don't stay with her, right? If you're unhappy with that, if you're that insecure, as they would say. Now listen, if Dana started talking to every dude in the bar, I'd get mad about it too. But I'd also speak my mind. Wouldn't go write a song about it. Number 7, it was a bonus track on a Super Unknown Expanded Edition. We love Soundgarden here on the show. And we're going to go with a song that was a B-side that didn't make the original cut. But again, when they do the expanded edition, you get this. It's Soundgarden's She Likes Surprises. And I don't know that she does, but that's the title of the track. Number six, anytime we can jam a little Faith No More, it's a good thing. Not a real deep catalog. They've played a lot, but there's not a lot of hits. There's a lot of filler. But it's Faith No More off the great album, The Real Thing, that had Epic. You guys know that one. Yeah, you do. You know, you want it all, but you can't have it. It's Faith No More, Surprise You're Dead, your number six track. Number five, John Lennon from the Walls and Bridges album. Kind of an interesting one. It's Surprise, Surprise, Sweet Bird of Paradox. It's such a subtitle. But yeah, it's an interesting track too, and it's very Lennonish, if that's a term. Number four, and I love this era of the Stones. I like it. They're a blues band, but I like kind of some of the garage era type stuff. This is from that. It's Surprise, Surprise from the Stones. And this is like a breakup song too. It's like, hey, surprise, surprise to you. I really wasn't that into you anyway. So, you know, you break up with me. Well, kind of like Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise. All right, number three. Just watched it too. Not this, but Aerosmith. If you watched the VMAs over the weekend, I hadn't watched in years, but a friend of mine shared the Ozzy tribute, and it's out there on socials with Youngblood and Nuno Bettencourt, the drummer from Extreme. It's so great. It's so great. And then Steven Tyler and Joe Perry from Aerosmith. It's kind of a medley. They go Crazy Train to Changes. And Changes with the full band is so powerful. Like Youngblood's version that he did at the Back to the Beginning show, they played part of that. And just with the full band, it's just incredibly powerful. And then Stephen and Joe joined for Mama, I'm Coming Home. But Aerosmith, it's no surprise. From the Night in the Ruts album, and I believe that's Jimmy Crespo on guitar. I believe that's correct. I think that's right. Number two, not a big Radiohead guy, but I dig this one. It kind of feels like a TikTok song, but it's Radiohead's No Surprises. And number one, maybe the first time we've had a Daughtry song number one. But I love this track, and I did from the beginning. That debut album from Chris Daughtry is phenomenal. And the recent stuff, like if you've kind of like, if Daughtry has flashed in your pan and left, you need to go back and listen to like the latest two albums from Daughtry, and I think you'll have a lot of fun with them. But back to the beginning, it's no surprise. Yes, no surprise I won't be here tomorrow. But I will be. That's your top 10 list. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up my boy Roy Samanti on X. Saw him, I think, three times this weekend. You can find him on X and on Spotify under the handle Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We had a great time. So many of you came out, too. I don't even have a new book out this year, but we had a big signing, and it was packed in there, too. A lot of people were jacked, and they should have been. But Campus Bookmart, that you want to go find, like, your Starkville versus everybody shirts, your Dark Mode jerseys, which they look good. I like them. You can find everything you need Mississippi State related at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. I got like three or four hugs from Susie while I was there. And then I left. But you can also shop online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. And that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. All right, let's kind of break down the SEC weekend that was, and then we'll get into our final segment and talk about some of this injury news that, as you guys know, it's not good. But I'll kind of give you my thoughts on that. And I was told yesterday that we had some bad news coming, but it wasn't confirmed. They were just kind of working through tests and options and things of all that kind of stuff. You know how it goes. And they need to be careful with injury information. Even though we feel like, hey, we're a part of all this, I get it. I understand it. But looking back at the weekend it was, you know, I felt great about LSU after that game against Clemson, but they barely beat Tech, 23-7. So they win but don't cover. And it's interesting. They were never in jeopardy. It was a 10-0 game at the break, 17 after three. They won it 23-7. And Brian says in postgame that Sonny Cumbie and his staff outcoached them. I don't know if I want to say that. Yes, you're 2-0. And Garrick Nussmeier goes 26 of 41. Do you throw the ball 41 times and you only get 237 yards passing and one touchdown? And you win by 16 against Louisiana Tech? Tough. Austin Peay covers against Georgia. Kind of a businesslike approach if you're Georgia. They win 28-6, but it is 14-3 at the break. You know, hey, you never know what's going to happen. And maybe Austin Peay is going to be really good this year. Wouldn't that be great for Chris Parson? Chris, go have a big year. Get back in the portal. Find your way to a Power 4 team. Make some jack. Good stuff. But Georgia, 2-0, ranked fourth in the country. Again, 28-6 winners. Texas also didn't cover. And I don't care what anybody says. This whole thing about they're not worried about Arch Manning and his arm, saying that he's not hurt. The trajectory of some of those passes would suggest that he is. And I don't know Arch. I'm not going to pretend that I do. 19 of 30, 295 yards and four touchdowns. I got a couple more weeks to get right. But they didn't cover again. 38-7. So Texas kind of been a bad beat so far in college football. South Carolina, another weird game. Like, they actually trailed 3-0 after one to South Carolina State. 17 there in the second, and then they blow it open in the third and win the game 38-10. Another bad beat. Of course, Mississippi State wins 24-20. And talk about bad beats. Can you imagine? And listen, I like Scott Strickland a lot. I do. And Scott's been known to listen to the show. But they lose at home to South Florida 18-16 on a last-second field goal. And, man, this was just a messy game. The Bulls did such a great job kind of letting Florida know that they weren't there to play Florida's game. They were going to make a messy game, and they did. It's 9-6 at halftime. You talk about a snooze fest. And then South Florida, 9 points in the third. What a crazy game, right? So it's 15-9 heading to the fourth. Florida scores and takes the lead, and it's like, okay, we're not going to cover, but at least we're going to win. The spread was 17.5. At least we'll get out of here with the dub. No. South Florida puts a late drive together. Brown, the quarterback from South Florida, makes a nice run, gets them in the field goal range. They kick the field goal. They win 18-16. Have you seen the video of the South Florida coaches running out of the box, passing the Florida coaches? And you know as well as I do, every one of those Florida coaches are thinking, we're getting fired. Not today, though. Scott Strickland does make a statement. And the fact that you have to make a couple of statements about your coach within less than a year, that's probably a sign you need a new coach. If the AD's having to go out and make these statements, your football program's not in a good position. We all knew that Florida shouldn't have been ranked 13th, but they still should have beat South Florida. Maybe Oklahoma's better than I thought. I picked Michigan to win. It was 14-0 at the break. Michigan gets 13 there in the third. Makes a bit of a game of it. It's a 21-13 game going to the fourth. Oklahoma makes it a two-score game with the field goal. And Mateer wins SEC Offensive Player of the Week. 270 yards and a touchdown. And so there you go. Big win for Oklahoma. Utah State. Told you those Aggies may cover, but I picked A&M. They didn't cover. Weird game. I think I went 8-7 against the spread this past week. But Utah State, 22 points, and it was quite a game for a quarter. And then A&M gets 20 in the second. It's 30-6, and you think, they'll just run away with it. But no, actually, Utah State wins the second half 16-14. Pretty good game, though, for Reed, though. 19-28 for 220 yards. Three touchdowns. Mario Craver, five catches for 114 yards and a score as well. Ole Miss and Kentucky, we picked Kentucky to cover, and thank God they did. We wish they would have won. They did cover there, and kind of a bad beat for some of those that that bet on Ole Miss because Kentucky kicked a late field goal down 10 to extend the game, right? I mean, they're not just worried about all that stuff, but 30-23 is your final. And Kentucky, for the longest time, it felt like they were just going to kind of muddy this thing up and find a way to win. Big second quarter for Ole Miss. But they get to the break 17-13. And then it's like 20-20. It's just kind of a wild thing. Ole Miss finally gets a little separation. Simmons not really living up to the hype to this point. And we expect, again, we talked about it's a weird thing. 13-24 for 235 yards and two picks. Yeah. Lacy's having to do a lot of the, not Kyron Lacy, but Lacy's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, 28 carries for 138 yards. But, yeah, Ole Miss wins. They don't cover. Tough one ahead. Alabama, really, 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 really excited if you're Alabama to get back on the field. Ty Simpson, 17 of 17 passing for 226 yards and three touchdowns as Alabama rolls over Louisiana Monroe 73-0. You had to have it. You had to have it. Deer, running back, you know him, five carries, 76 yards and a touchdown. Tennessee, 72-17 winners over East Tennessee State. No problem there. Aguilar, 23 of 31 for 288 yards, a couple touchdowns. Missouri, what an interesting game. They were down early. They were down 21-6 after one. They tie it in the second and then just kind of manage this thing down and then win the game 42-31. Pribula, pretty good, it appears. 30 of 39, 334 yards and three touchdowns. Kevin Coleman, 10 catches, 126 yards, and a score. Arkansas in the first ever meeting between the Razorbacks and the Red Wolves, and those two schools do not like each other. The Razorbacks win 56-14. The Wolves can walk away saying thanks for the check. Green, 17-26, 239 yards, and four touchdowns. He also ran for 151 yards and a score, too. Auburn handles Ball State, no problem there, 42-3. Better throwing day for Arnold, too, 24-28. You know, he didn't throw it exceptionally well against Baylor. He had a good game through the air, and they're going to have that element. They're not going to be able to just depend on a quarterback run and navigate through the SEC. Virginia Tech gets up early on Vanderbilt. I believe it was 20-0, and then they lose 44-20. It's all Vandy in the second half. They score 34 points to none to beat Virginia Tech. I said last week I didn't think Virginia Tech was very good. I think Vanderbilt proved that. Vandy 2-0. The Clark Lee experiment appears to be taking root. Kind of proven last year may not have been a fluke. All right, a quick look ahead. We won't worry about a lot of lines yet. But Oklahoma is at Temple. Surprisingly, Temple's 2-0 too. But shouldn't be a problem. They're going to play that game at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Wisconsin's at Alabama. Wisconsin's also 2-0. I don't know if you've kept up with the Badgers, but that could be an interesting one. Could be. I don't know if they've got the athletes, but granted, they've played Miami of Ohio and Middle Tennessee State. Remember, Middle lost to Austin Peay in week one. But Wisconsin's only allowed 10 points. 10 points. So maybe their defense really good. Maybe. They don't really play anybody, but not giving up much. South Alabama is going to be at Auburn. Shouldn't be a problem there. Georgia and Tennessee, that's the marquee game of the week. That'll be your 2:30 ABC game. Going to find out just what Tennessee has. And for that, Mac, maybe Georgia too. Louisiana is at Missouri. Missouri coming off the rivalry game. You know, UL Lafayette, you know, they were a lot better under Billy Napier. And I still think Billy wasn't ready for that job. But UL loses week one to Rice 14-12. And then they get McNeese 34-10, an FCS opponent. I expect a blowout here. UTEP is at Texas. That's going to be a big one. And Arch, you know, again, they're not covering. They got a big spread again this week. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the Miners. Of course, Alcorn State's at Mississippi State. No line on that game. Arkansas is at Ole Miss. And I've always said that this is never a good matchup for Ole Miss because Sam Pittman and those guys are a power run team. But last year, Ole Miss had the bodies up front that were athletic enough and big enough to make a difference. Ole Miss, a 9.5-point favorite at home. But it's going to be interesting to kind of see. I don't know that either team has really been tested, but I would say Ole Miss has probably been tested more you know, the road game at our home game at Kentucky against our road game against Kentucky. But again, football's about matchups. Florida's at LSU. Now, you'd say, well, LSU's ranked third, and Florida had an embarrassing loss. You know, they've been in a situation before. It's tough to go to Baton Rouge and win, but Louisiana Tech kind of made it interesting. Florida may be able to make it interesting. Going to be interesting. Texas A&M's at Notre Dame. Yeah, and I don't know what to expect from Notre Dame. They're 0-1 on the year. A&M's 2-0, but they haven't played anybody. Eastern Michigan's 0-2. They'll be at Kentucky. It'll be good for Kentucky as they try to find a way to get bowl eligible. They're not projected to be a bowl team, but that's one you're counting. Vanderbilt is at South Carolina. That is a great night game. So since we are at home, you know, and you think, man, if we hustle through this ball game against Alcorn State, we may be able to get home to catch the end of the Vanderbilt-South Carolina game, which should be a lot of fun. South Carolina, 5.5-point favorite. That's your quick first look ahead at the weekend. So we'll see how things kind of play out between now and then. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. And you should. Yeah, you should. We say it all the time. We don't get together enough, and we don't. So let's make some plans. I've stayed there. It is great. It is better than you think it is. And you think it's great, but even the pictures and the excitement of it all, you're going to be very happy when you make this trip and make these plans. They've renovated it, again, 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. It's also just downright cozy, man, and plenty of parking there. And that's one thing you always worry about, right? When you get a lot of people together, there's nowhere to park, you know. Well, no worries here. Plenty of parking. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse. So you got plenty of room. Have people over. Not too many. We don't want a rager. But as far as your friends and family that you're going to have staying with you, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Just out past the Highlands, 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. What could be better? And plus, you got everybody under one roof. You don't have to worry what Bob is doing and if Julie's taking a nap or, hey, where do you guys want to eat? And I can't get anybody to answer the phone. Everybody's together. And if it's a family thing, it's like it was in the old days, except now you get all the kids and all the grandkids together. And mom and dad, they deserve that. You do too. You'll be glad you made some memories. So Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can see all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. You can also see some booking options. Now, you can go Airbnb or VRBO. That's up to you. Maybe you've got a credit. I don't know. I can give you a credit if you don't have one, but you've got to book through the Evolve website. Promo code BSR and the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Yeah. Great place to stay at a discount. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Go out and make some memories at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right. In a few minutes, we have left. Will Woodson is done for the year, and that is devastating news. Now, the good thing is we have some depth there. The bad news is he has been the best defensive lineman through 2 weeks of play. There are times one-on-one you just simply couldn't block him. He has been an absolute terror. He leads state in sacks. We're trying to get a hardship year for him next year. I feel pretty confident they'll be able to get one. You know, he had a redshirt year last year because he got hurt. Completely unrelated. It's just it's a non-contact injury. And then that's the worst kind, right? You know, it's just it's nuts, man. It is. But Jeff Lebby announced today that he and Blake Steen are both now out for the year. Both will now have season-ending medical procedures to put themselves in a good position. Both should have the ability to come back next year. We'll see how things go. But, yeah, that's not good news. It's a tough price to pay. You know, that's a game of football. It's a very physical game. It's all part of the deal. So that's where we stand with that. People have asked a little bit about Jahre Bledsoe. Jahre did go down, big number 92. I understand it's an ankle situation, but it's fine. Now, we may sit him this week. You got Alcorn State coming in. So this is a week you can kind of get healthy. And I no disrespect to Alcorn State, but that's just kind of the reality of where we are. My hope is that let's play the first team up till halftime, and then we can play everybody else in the second half. Give Luke a quarter, give Kamario a quarter, Get some of these younger guys. They got four games to work with without burning a red shirt. Everybody who dresses, I hope, gets to play this weekend. I hope the game allows that to happen. And the main thing, we want to win impressively, and get out of there healthy, period. And we got to refine some things, too, in this running game. We got to figure out the perimeter passing game a little bit better, too. There are some things that we need to work on, and this is the great week to do it. Now, Northern Illinois is coming in next week. You expect to win that game, but anybody that's just saying, oh, it's just Northern Illinois, you're kidding yourself. You are absolutely kidding yourself, and we'll talk more about them next week. But this is not a scenario where we can just kind of show up and go through the motions and expect to win a ball game. They had three players that transferred into state, and so they're going to be jacked. They're going to be jacked to play us, and why wouldn't they be? Their coach even made a comment, not necessarily about our guys, but he made a comment that, hey, how many of these guys that transferred out of our program are going to play? He goes, I'm eager to see how much they want to play, how much they're going to play at their new teams. And that really hadn't been the case. It's true. When I got Nevaeh Sanders and Ray Thomas and I can't remember the wide receiver's name now. But the reality of it is that, if you're the coach of Northern Illinois, you say, hey, listen, I know what these people are going to tell you, but look what happened to these guys. So we need those guys to play and play well this week. They have not been world beaters this year. They beat Holy Cross 19-17 in week one. And then they go to Maryland, and it's a 13-9 game late, and then Maryland puts them away 20-9. I don't know how good Maryland is, but they're not scared to get out and go play games. As you guys are well aware, they beat Notre Dame last year in South Bend. So that's a coaching staff that clearly has good culture. But before we get to that, we got to take care of Alcorn State. And we certainly expect to. We played them twice back in 2010 and 2013. The combined score in those games, Bulldogs 100, Braves 23. And they're struggling, too. They're 0-2. You can go read the first look column over at jeanspage.com. You can also sign up for, 60% off the annual subscription price right now? So we encourage you to do that. If you hadn't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Alpha Dogs, Stark Villains, Dog Pile, and The Dude, of course, along with the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And it's interesting, too. A lot of my female readers, they gravitate towards that book, and I've had a lot of people kind of reach out about that particular book. Maybe you will, too. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville, 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions. She's a registered nurse, and so you can have the opportunity to speak to her about any potential medical issues you have that could be alleviated or at least helped with a float. Floating has changed the lives of many. Maybe it would for you, too. If you've got chronic anxiety or pain, it may be able to help you. If you're a person that just needs a reset, we may be able to help you too. We've helped many others. So we encourage you, come out and float. Enjoy the fun of that. And again, if you want to float this weekend, this past weekend, we had a lot of like out-of-towners. Same situation. You need to make sure that you book ahead of time. She may be able to handle one or two walk-ins now and again, but you need to plan ahead of time. Again, that's 662-268-7601. Hey, let's get out of here. Busy show. Right, we'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. This will be up, obviously, before your 5 o'clock drive. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.